This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Dr. Mark Welch. Mark is a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Specialist out of College Station. He'll join us in just a few moments. First off, Brad Rippey, a meteorologist with USDA, starting to look at crop progress and planting progress and sorghum.
As we move to the Great Plains, sorghum planting occurring only at this point in Texas, and that's mainly in the southern part of the state, that's pushing the national number to 13% of the sorghum acreage planted by April 3rd, five-year average 14%, last year at this time 14%. And even though there's six production states, Texas the only one with planting progress, 43% complete. Five-year average is 47%.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist in College Station. And today, Mark, a chance to travel across the High Plains, very dry.
You bet. You know, with all the volatility and uncertainty that we're seeing on a global stage, and you know, farmers trying to make decisions and management plans for 2022, throw in how dry it is across much of the southern High Plains, and the further west you go in the state of Texas, the worse it gets. And so it just adds to the difficulty around putting a plan together for 2022. It looks like it's going to make sense.
You know, we look at the entire state, about 90% of the state is in D1 or drier conditions. But you look really across the western part of the U.S., west of the Mississippi, most of that area is dry as well. Does this give us concern as we go into really the heart of the planting season?
You know, it does. And again, back to kind of the global perspective, you know, with the conditions as they are coming out of relatively tight supply conditions anyway, and then concerns of additional, particularly on the grain market, supplies out of the Black Sea region with the conflict in Russia and Ukraine. You know, we need every pound of cotton and bushel of grain that we can get here in 2022. And so that production risk and uncertainty certainly adds to the situation of how we're going to cope with the environmental conditions of 2022. Now, the other side of that is that here in the spring, when we set those base prices for our insurance products, those are some of the best prices that we've seen in a long, long time. So in terms of a risk management safety net, we do have insurance prices that do reflect, again, those same shortages of supply and uncertainty around production for the coming year, which does, you know, facilitates at least some a base program of risk management that we do have some security on that side of it.
Let's talk first wheat now, because it's in the ground, or it was in the ground and is blown off somewhere. The more I talk to producers, the more I'm realizing we may not even have 50% of that wheat left that went into the ground. Is there concern about the winter wheat crop?
You bet. Texas and Oklahoma particularly, we're in really tough conditions. There are some areas, on the I-35 kind of corridor in the eastern part of the state that the wheat looks pretty good. And so certainly got some potential there. Kansas is very dry, not to the severity of drought conditions that we see in much of western Oklahoma and western Texas. And that Kansas crop has a little more time as well, in that they're going to be a few weeks behind us, breaking dormancy and needing that moisture to come at the, you know, critical growing points of their wheat crop. So, you know, we're not writing it off yet, but in terms of the prospects, particularly for the Texas and Oklahoma crops, it looks like it's going to be one of the toughest years we've seen in a long time.
Now you throw in the high prices, and suddenly somebody who was looking at 20 or 30 bushels, which you normally would even question whether or not, if it's under 20 bushels, whether to even run a combine through the thing, especially if you have to hire a custom harvester. But with prices this high, that could be a game changer as well, couldn't it?
You know, all those factors come into play. That you know, particularly if there is a minimal degree of production that is out there, you know, at these prices, we're going to go get everything that we can, and we'll need to in many cases for insurance claims and just through that whole process. So yes, that will still play out. you know, typically we'd be making that decision at this time of year of forage versus grain, and even those prospects, you know, look very challenging at this point, as dry as it is, just whether he's even a stand out there yet. So it is a very frustrating situation. And the wheat price, of course, for insurance purposes, was set off that July contract back last August and September, which at that time, $7 wheat looked pretty good. And so if we do have those revenue products that will track that market higher, yes, that is a key component of the risk management safety net that our products do provide. And it does ratchet up that price if the harvest price is considerably higher than the base price. So it does, your protection per acre, does follow that market higher, which is a key component of the crop insurance program.
Just one of those things we're watching day by day. Let's speak of days, though. You brought up a great graph showing what happened, what was going on when we last saw wheat at $13 and the fundamental behind that. And you really highlighted a point here being how many days of supply do we have? Does that justify kind of where we are with these wheat prices just by itself?
You know, if we look back, the last time we saw a run of prices like this, it was in March of 2008, and we had tight global supplies of wheat. And that July contract for Kansas City wheat went over $13 a bushel. We have seen in the last couple of weeks that price run above $12 a bushel again on the July Kansas City contract. And given the current concerns around wheat supplies, it kind of makes fundamental sense in that if you put at threat the amount of wheat that normally comes out of that Black Sea region, that Ukraine and Russia supply to the global wheat trade, if that's at risk and you take that off the table, we're looking at wheat supplies as tight as they were in 2008. And so, yeah, price-wise, if you're going to set a number, kind of a target of where we might go back to, given those kind of shortages, that kind of makes sense that we would run up to that level. Now, as things are unfolding, it does look like there is some wheat that is still finding its way into the global trade, even from that area. We have several producers this year that have re-entered the global wheat export market. India is not a big wheat exporter year to year, but they've had four or five record crops in a row. So they're able to meet, especially some of that demand. If you think out geographically, India located near the Middle East and those Northern African countries. So in that area where they have favorable trade relations, they can supply a lot of that grain in areas that would normally supply out of the Black Sea. It just makes sense for them to be able to meet some of those market needs. So there is some compensating factors going on. I don't think the production out of the Black Sea, even for 2022, is going to be a complete loss. It's going to be tight. High prices are going to cause a stress for particularly global wheat importers, those countries that do rely on wheat imports in terms of questions of being able to afford it. Global food security becomes a real concern. Here in the U.S., yeah, our consumers are going to see the impact of higher commodity prices, even though supplies aren't a concern. We've got plenty of wheat, but whoever uses that grain for whatever product, it's going to be a higher cost component of whatever they do with it. And that will be passed on to the consumer in many cases. So we'll all feel the impact. It's not a supply question necessarily. It's just that the price impact is going to cause some real stress for some consumers.
So can we apply that same mode of thinking, if you will, to the corn market?
And it applies, yes, across the corn, the other grain markets. And corn is kind of a little different impact in that Ukraine particularly is a much more significant supplier of global corn exports than they are wheat. They're a major wheat exporter, but they participate more so in the corn market. And then when it comes to corn, we have fewer market participants to make up the slack if Ukraine is short. Brazil's coming back strong this year if things play out. Of course, the U.S., we'll see what our acreage numbers look like with all the competition among other crops for what our planting decisions will be. But when it comes to corn, if we were to lose a significant amount of export potential from Ukraine in 2022, that's really a bigger impact than even in the wheat market. And we haven't seen the corn price run to record levels like we've seen in corn. In the wheat market. So that may yet be ahead of us if we do see the conflict continue to play out and depending on what reports like the prospective planters report show us for corn acres in 2022.
So there were, this one's the last one here for you, but you roll back to when we saw some of those high prices, and at the time the debate was, is this the new normal? Well, we learn now in retrospect, really wasn't the new normal. Is that something we need to keep in mind as we start looking, not just this year, but down the road 3-4 years?
You know, I think we do need to put that in perspective, and that gives us a good context that when we do these situations like in 2008 or 2012, these high prices provide the incentive for producers not only in the U.S. but all over the world to increase production. Now, given the input challenges, whether it's the price of fertilizer or the availability of herbicides and pesticides here for 2022, there may be some real challenges of doing that this year, but over time, you bet. Not only the American farmer, but global farmers have shown their resiliency and their perseverance. And if you give them a price, they'll produce to it. I expect that to certainly to continue even out of all the turmoil that we're seeing in this current market, that, given time, we will respond, on a productive side of that to meet this challenge.
You just wrapped up the Master Marketer program with about 60 seconds left here. I know we've wrapped that up for this year. But for those who've heard about it but really haven't gotten involved, what's your word to them as we start maybe looking towards the next opportunity?
There is no more comprehensive risk management program in the country for agricultural producers than Master Marketer. And when we say comprehensive, many times we focus on, you know, hedging and contracting strategies, and we do spend a lot of time on price risk management. But we talk about crop insurance and production risk. We talk about legal risk. We talk about working with a lender. We talk about human risk. And whether that's with employees and all the other challenges around making our farms and ranches operate to the most efficient rate possible. And we spend so much time together that not only with the range of instructors, you build that relationship within the class. And so the things we learn from each other is just as important as what we hand out in the notebooks every week. And so it's absolutely a life-changing educational program that touches on those 5 or 6 key areas of risk running a farm and ranch. They're just critical, especially in environments like we have now, but really any time, just the challenge of making a living and running a family farming business.
So good to see you. Wish you the best, sis.
Thank you, Tony. Always good to see you.
Again, it's Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, grain marketing economist in College Station. It's the Agribusiness Report.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Dr. Mark Welch with Texas A&M AgriLife.
Beef cattle producers, survival is not enough. Prosperity is our goal. And the 2022 Beef Cattle Conference in Canadian, Texas, Tuesday and Wednesday, April 26th and 27th, will provide you the information you need to prosper during these turbulent times. Get your tickets now to see former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and 10 other experts share their vision for your future. Call 806-323-9114. That's 323-9114. Call now. Seating is limited.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. You can learn more about the Master Marketer Program we spoke about. Online, search Master Marketer Program.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
USDA's first crop progress report of the season takes a look at winter wheat condition.
Unfortunately, I have to report that looking at the last two decades of winter wheat conditions, this is the lowest condition that we have started out the spring season with. We have just 30% of the U.S. winter wheat in good to excellent condition, 36% rated very poor to poor.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says last year's numbers were far better.
With the crop a year ago rated 53% good to excellent and 16% very poor to poor, as we're going to try to climb out of this hole for the rest of the spring growing season for winter wheat.
There were only six other years in the century where winter wheat conditions began the season at a comparable but still higher level.
The outcome was variable. We did see some recovery in some of those years, but other years were not good at all. And so we'll have to see what route we take from this point forward in these drought-affected areas.
This is Stephanie Hope in Washington, D.C.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Well, farmers in the U.S. appear to be losing optimism in the economy. That's according to the latest Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer, which has now dipped to its lowest levels since the early days of the pandemic. The decline, according to Dr. Jim Mentert, director of the Center for Commercial Agriculture at Purdue, is the reaction of weaker perceptions of both current conditions in the ag economy as well as expectations for the future. Now, top concerns cited by farmers and ranchers surveyed during mid-March include the impact the Ukrainian war will have on input prices, ongoing lack of availability for many inputs, and their inflated prices. Two-way trade in food and ag products between the U.S. and Mexico reached a record $63 billion in 2021, the result of a renegotiated trade agreement known as the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, or USMCA. Now, trade between the two neighbors is not without challenges, however, and on Tuesday, both U.S. Secretary of Ag Tom Vilsack and his counterpart in Mexico, Secretary of Ag and Rural Development Victor Villalobos, announced that all necessary plant health protocols have been met, and Mexican officials have agreed to a final visit in April to finalize expanded access to the entire Mexican market for all U.S. table stock and shipping potatoes, no less than May 15. Potato issues just been one of many, though, that U.S. producers have had with Mexico. In addition, Mexico's recent ban on glyphosate is troubling to grain producers, while changes to their national energy plans have ethanol producers in the states concerned. There's been no word from either side as to whether those concerns are being addressed. Well, the House Ag Committee held a hearing on Tuesday on the energy title of the 2018 Farm Bill, the goal of discussing renewable energy opportunities in rural America. Chairman of the committee is David Scott from Georgia, who expressed concern that since the creation of that title in the 2002 Farm Bill, mandatory spending available for energy has been cut to the point where only 20% of the original funding for the programs are even available today. He says for the upcoming 2023 Farm Bill that we need to consider what the needs are for our ag and forestry sectors as well as our rural small businesses in terms of their potential role in producing the renewable energy, and went on to say there's a tremendous interest from rural areas in undertaking energy efficiency efforts to help their bottom lines. Now, the ranking member of the committee is G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. He noted his district is, in fact, home to the nation's first ever commercial oil well. He also has the Commonwealth's only ethanol plant and the oldest continually operating oil refinery in the U.S. Thompson said access to affordable energy is access to freedom, both political and economic, but one need look no further than the nations of Europe who are shackled to Russian energy and Putin's pipelines. He went on to say that the expansion of new sources of renewable energy, ethanol, solar, wind, biogas, and more, cannot be done at the cost of every traditional source of power. This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James.
It's simple. You want better, more nutritious feed? Start with a better, more impressive baler. Introducing the new Massey Ferguson 4100V RB series of silage balers. They're the kind of rugged, hard-working machines you can count on to handle everything your operation demands season after season. Work faster in more conditions on more crop types. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.